You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
I'm joined by John McNamara, Director of Research at McNamara Economic Research, and Michael Peake, Research Manager for Education and Society at the British Council. We're speaking in Miami at the British Council Going Global Conference. You've both been involved in a report on the impact of transnational education on host countries. It's produced by the British Council and the German Academic Exchange Service. Overall, some quite positive findings from this report.
Yeah, absolutely. This report, of course, builds on a previous pilot study that we commissioned last year. So we did quite a lot of due diligence to find out what the issues are for host countries, and particularly from the host country perspective. And we've generally tried to assess this whole topic as to whether what the impacts are, and to whether broadly they're positive or negative, and try and determine what those positive and negative impacts are. And to do that, we reached out to eight different stakeholder groups in the host country. So we really have done our best to get the in-country, host country perspective here. Mm. And definitely the views that have come back is that overwhelmingly the perception is that T&E is a force for good. It's having positive impacts. In particular, some of the positives that really came through were the fact that T&E is considered an affordable way to receive a high quality foreign education. So it's more affordable than studying the entire program abroad. But particularly the importance of intercultural competence and having an international outlook came through in the research. Mm. And there was a lot of consistency across the different survey groups on this issue of about the fact that T&E graduates typically are much higher skilled when it comes to multicultural skills and international outlook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and from the British Council's perspective, were very reassuring to find that the findings were overwhelmingly positive. We thought it was very important to do this research because research on T&E in the past has tended to be from the sending country perspective. So the British Council, working with DAAD, thought it was important to look at this important aspect of internationalisation from the host country perspective. Mm. As well.
And one criticism you sometimes hear of transnational education is that it could restrict the development of indigenous HE systems, if you like. Another university comes in, and maybe people go there looking for that high quality education, as you term it. It could, in many ways, impede sort of some of the local development, some of the universities that have grown up in those countries. It doesn't sound like that was the findings in this particular report.
No, actually, quite the opposite. And again, building on some of the case studies that British Council produced last year. The big impact, one of the biggest impacts of T&E is actually capacity building in host country institutions. And so most T&E, even though you hear mostly about branch campuses, in fact, most T&E is actually collaborative in nature. And so the host institution learns about new teaching methods, new quality assurance approaches, and about delivering new programs. Interestingly as well, in this research, we did find that there was quite a lot of evidence that the host country faculty do visit the sending country, and so that exchange of knowledge happens both within the host country and actually in the sending country as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is just from the conference session today, Going Global. This was something that came out in the discussion. I think that a real benefit of successful T&E is the two-way flow of knowledge. So it's not just about sending country to the host country, but also something that the sending countries get back as well.
Mm-hmm. The report did quote or reference some experts concerned that the programmes offered by in these host countries aren't always maybe considerate of local needs. Rather than filling a skills gap out there, some simply recreate some very similar courses that are already on offer in those countries. That's a finding that came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, certainly one of the positives was felt to be that it's increasing access to tertiary level education. Another benefit of T&E that you hear a lot about, but actually doesn't seem to stand up on the basis of our research, is that T&E is resulting in a lot of new programs being offered, or a lot of niche programs. Certainly it does happen, but generally it seems to be the case that T&E programs are already available are similar programs are already available locally. Generally, that's the case. And so to the extent then that T&E is addressing skills gaps, well, the feeling was that if it is, it's probably only to a moderate extent. And, you know, I think this partially is reflective of the fact that host countries aren't always very clear about what they want to achieve from T&E. And therefore, you know, I think the addressing of the skills gap issue is something that would need to be worked on, you know, in collaboration with the governments and at a more senior level. But as it currently stands, T&E is meeting demand. It's addressing the demand, and particularly in business-related subjects, but also, and probably because we've had a lot of German institutions involved in the study, we see a lot of engineering programs as well that were quite common.
And just to add to what John was saying, it does seem that the flexible nature of T&E programs often allows a different profile of students to access higher education and an international higher education with an international flavour. So the flexible nature of the programmes allows them to continue working while still getting an education which has an international aspect to it.
Michael Peake, John McNamara, thank you for talking to me.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.